welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January the 22nd, and if this was a horse race tonight, we would have a trifecta. Our red-hot start to the new year continues this evening as we welcome back to the show three of our very favorite guests, Mark Weber, Gordon Baum, and Reverend Ted Pike. As everyone remembers, back in late December, we did a political cesspool online fan poll that originally it was just to allow you to help us select the first guest of the new year, but so many great suggestions came flooding in that we decided to fill up the whole month of January with the listener's choice, and that trend continues tonight with Mark Weber, Gordon Baum, and Ted Pike going to be covering a variety of issues this evening, and we can't wait to present tonight's broadcast to you for the next 3 hours. Buckle up and hold on tight. It's going to be a bumpy ride through the murky waters of the political cesspool. Again, we're coming to you live this evening from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and of course, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, libertynewsradio.com, and airing to the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network across the country. Joining me in the studio for the first hour, as is his custom, is a true American hero, Keith Alexander the Great. Keith, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing great. It's always great to get back in the cesspool. You know, this isn't work for us. It's labor love. We feel like it's necessary to get the word out. And sometimes we feel like we're the only folks really doing that, particularly on the AM radio dial.
Well, that's true. This is the only mainstream radio program in America, I dare assume, that had the courage to tell you the truth about Michael King last week, while the rest of the country, at least the rest of the media, I should say, certainly not the rest of the country, but the rest of the media, was egregious in their flattery of King. We had the guts to tell you the truth. And while we don't like to speak ill of the dead, even if the dead is a whoremongering, plagiarizing communist, we felt obligated, especially being from Memphis, where you can't hardly escape the shadow of King, to bring you a program that really gives you the facts and figures about this man and his life's work. Now, we would be all too content, Keith, to do an hour on King once a year around the time of his the holiday that has everybody in such hysteria, and then be done with it, out of sight, out of mind, until the next January. Unfortunately, we have to resuscitate it one more time this evening. The reason being, I thought it was particularly obscene this year, Keith, the conservative reaction to the King holiday and the King legacy. It started with Sarah Palin. It just didn't stop. You were the first one to kind of tip me off on it. You said, James, you got to tune in, and he gave the AM frequency of a rival station here in town. He said, you got to tune in to such and such station. You got to hear. This is the so-called conservative station, the other conservative station here in Memphis, in opposition to AM 1380, which is our flagship. But he said, you got to tune in and listen to what's going on here. Keith, what was going on? We'll start there and then we'll continue.
Well, what was happening was that so-called white conservatives were calling into the radio station, and they just were gushing over Martin Luther King. A guy was saying, you know, if he had survived, he would have been president by now, and we'd all be better off. That was more or less the tenor of the comments that were being made, and this was by people who self-identify themselves as conservatives. So I said, you know, the brainwashing is complete, James. It appears now that nobody is going to challenge Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King is important because he is an exemplar of the Civil Rights Movement, which was the first great victory for the modern American left. And if you accept the Civil Rights Movement as being a righteous movement, then the camel's nose is in the tent. You know, you've been moved out of the tent. Conservatism can never win as long as you let one aspect of liberalism live up to its own self-billing as being righteous and holy and good. And this, unfortunately, is what conservatives have done. Just, you know, tune in Glenn Beck, tune in Mark Levin, tune in everybody, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. Nobody has a discouraging word to say about Martin Luther King or the Civil Rights Movement.
And it's not, Keith, that we just want to batter anyone, because I think it is very upsetting to speak ill of the dead, even if the dead is one of our enemies. But all we're trying to do is be objective about this man in the face of so many lies that are being told. And so this is what we're doing here. Keith, if America, particularly the American government and American media, had a choice, and the choice was you could select one, but you couldn't have both. You can honor Jesus Christ, or you can honor Martin Luther King. Which one's going to get picked, and which one's going to get put on the bench?
Well, the secularists that we have now, quite frankly, have no respect for Christianity. Christianity is just tolerated. They've forgotten their origins of America being a Christian nation. You know, we would let Martin Luther King rest in peace, but the left just keeps resurrecting him all the time, and they're doing it for more than just celebrating Martin Luther King the man. It's Martin Luther King the symbol and Martin Luther King the icon that we find so disturbing. And, of course, the man doesn't measure up to the icon. We've pointed this out in numerous occasions. He was a plagiarist. He was a communist sympathizer, not a member of the Communist Party itself, but he got bankrolled by Stanley Levison, who was the point man for the Soviet Union's money that was sent to America. He was the one who got it. He's the one who decided where to spend it. He spent it on the basis of where he thought the left got the most bang for the buck, and he decided early on in the mid-50s that the place where he would get the most bang for his buck was with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and that's where the money went. So, you know, that's unfortunate. This is what Sam Francis had to say in a booklet that I would recommend to all of you that's published by the Council of Conservative Citizens called The King Holiday and Its Meaning. Here's what he said. To those of King's own political views, then, the true meaning of the holiday is that it serves to legitimize the radical social and political agenda that King himself favored and to delegitimize traditional American social and cultural institutions, not simply those that supported racial segregation, but also those that support a free market economy, an anti-communist foreign policy, and a constitutional system that restrains the power of the state rather than one that centralizes and expands power for the reconstruction of society and the redistribution of wealth.
We're going to have to take a break right there, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, we're going to read to you what Sarah Palin, the figurehead of the Tea Party movement, had to say about Martin Luther King, and even more disturbing, what her followers, including many Southerners, had to say about him as well. Truth that you'll find only on the Political Cesspool radio program. We'll be back right after these messages. And don't forget that we are conducting a Political Cesspool virtual fan party right now. To join us and to interact with us while the show is being broadcast, join us at cofcc.org, cofcc.org. We'll be right back.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
As I said just before that last commercial break, we are having a party, a virtual fan party and online chat. If you want to be part of the fun, we encourage you to join us right now. It's taking place simultaneously with the live broadcast of tonight's radio program. Join us at cfcc.org. That's the official website of the Council of Conservative Citizens, a partner with the Political Cesspool radio program, cofcc.org. There you will find the Political Cesspool fan party, online chat. Join us. talk with us during the broadcast and ask questions of our guests. We have three great ones tonight. Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, Gordon Baum, the CEO of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, all forthcoming before the clock runs out this evening. Now, during that first segment tonight, Keith and I were talking about the conservative reaction to Martin Luther King's life, his legacy, and the holiday. And, you know, I keep reading about this, as I wrote on the blog, the historic election of 2010, when white people began deserting the Democrats and the GOP actually got 60% of the white vote, as if that's something to brag about. It isn't. And it's because the Republican Party is just as committed to destroying white America as the Democrats are. They just believe that it can be done without raising taxes. Now, anyone who would praise Martin Luther King as some sort of conservative hero needs their head examined. And it's not just a few prominent Republicans, it is all of them, including Fox News, the so-called, conservative television outlet. And so here's what Sarah Palin, who has been ascended by the powers that be to the leadership position, or she's the figurehead of the Tea Party movement, and she writes this on King's holiday. Today is a day to reflect on the life and legacy of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King dedicated himself to justice and to the struggles of an imperfect world. In the face of fierce opposition, he stood for the oppressed and ultimately sacrificed all for equality and freedom. His was a remarkable life of love and service for all mankind. His work must continue. With Dr. King's faith in God and his unwavering hope in a brighter, stronger future, let us recommit today to continuing his work for a more peaceful and just nation. Sarah Palin. Now, Keith, in that short paragraph statement, there were 15, 20 lies and mistruths. Now, I don't know if Sarah Palin really believes that, or she just knows what she has to say in order to be allowed to continue to rake in the money as she does. But nevertheless, this kind of stuff cannot go unanswered. And if you think that's bad, you should get a load of some of the over 1,600 comments that she received on her Facebook page. And I've got for you pulled up a couple of typical comments that that you can find there on the Sarah Palin Facebook page. And this is coming from, like I said, you would expect a prostitute like Sarah Palin. And let's face it, that's really what she is. Not in the literal sense of the word, but she is a political prostitute. She left her office as governor of Alabama so she could rake in money six ways from Sunday. And, Alaska, not Alabama. Of course, Alaska. And now, you know, this sucking up to the King legacy because she knows that's what's expected of her. You can expect that. You can expect that. But this is what's coming from her followers, which really are. They really are, by and large, fundamentally conservative. This is what they said. Thank God for Dr. King. He freed us all, both black and white. He freed us all. That came from a white man named Jim Horn, and he's a Southerner, and he lists his favorite book as Atlas Shrugged, and I'm not kidding about that. Here's another one. This is one of my favorite ones. Contrary to the popular belief, Dr. King was politically conservative and a registered Republican voter. Another one said, Dr. King worked within the principles and framework of the Constitution to bring needed changes. He stood for what was right. He put his life on the line, and I hold him in the highest respect. Again, these are people, ladies and gentlemen, that are commenting on Sarah Palin's Facebook page. Another person wrote, MLK Jr. was a great Republican. Thank God for Martin Luther King. He gave a conscience to this nation. You know, Keith, the brainwashed and brain-dead folks at Sarah Palin's Facebook page need to take a look at the facts. And if this is what's passing as modern-day conservatism, the need for a radio program, a true paleo-conservative radio program, like the political cesspool, could not be more apparent.
Yeah, it's really, really sad because, you know, the problem is we're paleo-conservatives. That's what is needed. Conservatism, if it now includes neoconservatism, which no nearsighted person could tell from liberalism, and mainstream conservative, which is just a little bit better. Paleoconservatism is called paleoconservative because paleo means old. We as paleoconservatives believe that every issue that was on the table in 1950 is still on the table. For example, if you read the National Review back in the 1950s, you'll see that they talked about the same issues and debated the same issues that we debate and tackle here at the Political Cesspool. You won't find Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Laura Ingraham or Mark Levin or any of these people, Rush Limbaugh, doing that. And that's because they have moved on. And quite frankly, our ancestors, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who were alive in the 50s, if they heard today's mainstream conservatives, they think that they were either liberals or maybe even radical leftists, James.
Well, Keith, yes, they do. And like I said, this is just one of a million reasons why the political cesspool is such a needed voice in America today. And I know we've got some things on the internet we need to pull up for you. I'm not on the website right now, so it's just a Microsoft Word. But you've got stuff here in the newspaper that I'd like for you to begin to cover. Keith and I got together, as we always do, for our midweek show prep, and you should see this newspaper he brought in, ladies and gentlemen, highlighted all over the place, got his chicken scratch all over it. Keith, if you could, indulge us.
Well, let me say this first before we get to that. The thing that I find so disturbing about that blog entry that you were just reading from, still hoping for good things from the Tea Party movement, is not Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is a front person. Sarah Palin is going to do what she has to do to keep the money flowing in, and she knows that the quickest way to stop the money flowing in is to stop being a neoconservative and start being a paleoconservative. If you'll notice, all the big conservative magazines and media outlets now and talk radio hosts, the ones that make the big bucks, are neoconservatives. They've taken over things like the National Review, Jewish neoconservatives like Jonah Goldberg, Bill Kristol at the Weekly Standard, and then these talk show hosts like Mark Levin are telling the establishment wanted what it wants to hear. The establishment won't support paleoconservative. That's why we depend on you people out there to support us, because you're not going to hear a voice like us on your major AM radio stations, because they do not want to hear from us. But the thing that disturbs me the most about the Sarah Palin article are the comments of the people that are supporters of the Tea Party. They are obviously in dire fear of their immortal souls, that they're going to lose them if they don't worship the civil rights movement in Martin Luther King. How did something like this happen? How did these people get so benighted? Well, the fact is, children go to school, they hear this at school, they hear the leftist drivel on the TV and on the radio, and because of that, you know, their minds have been warped, and we're seeing now the results of 50 years of brainwashing. These people think that Martin Luther King was this saintly creature when, quite frankly, he was a two-legged dog. And furthermore, he was a communist sympathizer. He actually wanted America to have a guaranteed income, not a guaranteed minimum wage, but a guaranteed income for every person. And guess what? We now have it.
Got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. If you think we're done, we're just getting started. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Third segment of this first hour. We're still three outstanding guests coming your way tonight. Mark Weber, Gordon Baum, Ted Pike. You'll hear from each of them before the program concludes this evening. But first, you know, as always, we're talking about issues of the utmost importance on this radio program and giving you a perspective the likes of which you're not going to find anywhere else. That's why this radio program, The Political Cesspool, has become so well known. That's why we attract so much media, CNN, the biggest newspapers in the world, you name it, magazines, we're everywhere, because we have such a refreshing and unique voice. Keith Alexander has written a booklet about this. We're talking about Martin Luther King. Well, Martin Luther King is just a manifestation of liberalism and its effect on American society. That is the name of Keith's booklet. And unlike my book, Racism Schmacism, you can't get Keith's anytime you want. Keith's book is kind of like the McRib sandwich at McDonald's. We bring it out a couple of times a year, and when we have it on the menu, you better get your fill of it. You can go to our website anytime, any day of the year, and order my book. Keith, we roll it out sometimes for fundraising incentives, but right now, and continuing through January 31st, you have an opportunity to obtain an autographed copy of Keith's book, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society, by going to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and making a donation of $25 or more to our program. Inside Keith's short read are his thoughts on Christianity, family, government, commerce, education, arts and entertainment, the media. If you like Keith's commentary on the show each and every week, you'll love reading what he has to say. But in order to get it, once again, you have to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, make a donation to our radio program for $25 or more before January 31st, and we'll get Keith's book to you. Get it soon, because the Big Mac's our biggest seller, and, you know, the McRib can't stay here forever.
Keith. Okay, thank you, Big Mac. Let me tell you what, Martin Luther King, like we said,
get back down to business.
Let's get back down to business.
Monkey shines, aside.
Right. Martin Luther King himself is really kind of a pathetic figure. We wouldn't be spending time on him, except that the left showcases him because he is helping to push their agenda. Now, the thing that I find so, unfortunately, so common about the typical white conservative reaction to Martin Luther King, it's just like when you tune into a black conservative radio show, and just about everybody in every market has one of these. They had Ken Hamlin, the Black Avenger. They have a one in Memphis called Andrew Clark Sr. And, of course, these guys are nine-tenths liberal, maybe one-tenth conservative, but white people call them up all the time, and they're just gushing over him because they are so genuinely grateful to hear the voice of somebody that thinks vaguely like them. And they know, because they've been taught this by their mentors, that because they're white people, they're guilty. That's what Martin Luther King and the elevation of the civil rights movement has done. They've convinced everybody that black people are righteous. But if you advocate for black interests, that's a holy and a righteous thing. And on the other hand, white people are evil. White people were the people that tried to hold black people like Martin Luther King back and down. And therefore, their ideas have no legitimacy unless they're validated by a black person. So when they hear one of these black conservatives, they're so grateful. It's just like you can hear that from the core of their being, they are so thankful to find a black person. Why do you think that the Tea Party, for example, is always trotting up black people to be their spokesman, to always get candidates for Congress that are black, rather than getting people that are true Tea Party conservatives or out of the off the reservation conservatives? They don't want white people. They got to have a black person up there holding the standard, leading the charge, or else they're just evil old racists. And this is exactly the way that the left wants white people to think, and the Martin Luther King holiday is very important for that. Now, let me do something else here. I've got to move my little thing here for just a moment. We got a comment from a great commenter called Had Enough Yet, who pointed out to us that in the April 5th, 3rd, 1965 edition of the Saturday Review, there's an interview of Martin Luther King called Behind the Selma March. On page 16 to 17, he basically gave away the strategy that had been imprinted in him when he went to the Highlander Folk School in Mont Eagle, Tennessee, along with Rosa Parks and a lot of these other so-called civil rights heroes. They were learning cultural Marxism, and they were learning how to manipulate the media. He said that what they learned was a four-step process. First, nonviolent demonstrators go into the streets to exercise their constitutional rights of expression. Two, racists resist by unleashing violence against these people, these holy warriors. Three, Americans of conscience, in the name of decency, demand federal intervention in legislation. And four, the administration, under mass pressure, initiates measures of immediate intervention and remedial legislation. That's how the Civil Rights Act of 64 got passed. That's how the Voting Rights Act of 1965 got passed, and a plethora of other civil rights laws. Well, the key was provoking these so-called racists, i.e. white people, to violence. How did they do it? Well, we've had Drew Lackey on, who was a policeman, an Alabama chief of police in Montgomery. And he's the person whose picture appears on the iconic photograph where they take the saintly Rosa Parks, who was actually the head of the local NAACP and had cooked up the whole Montgomery bus arrest incident. And during that, he's taking her fingerprints. Well, Drew Lackey said that these so-called peaceful, holy demonstrators were hurling gobs of spit, peeing on them, doing all sorts of other things to, provoke them, throwing bottles and bricks at them. Here's Chief Lackey's rendition of the events. Those 4 days on the road had turned into a habitual sex orgy by the time they reached the Capitol. The Capitol is Montgomery, Alabama. King was always seen on TV marching in the front row among clean-cut, well-disciplined performers. It was all a sham. He stayed partying separately most of those days and would only arrive in a chauffeured limousine for the appointed press deadline, leaving immediately thereafter. And see, what happened was the cameras run by the leftist Jewish media, ABC, NBC, and CBS, didn't roll when all of these gobs of spit and urine and bricks and bottles were being thrown at the police. They would start to roll when the police, finally fed up, would react. And that's when you saw the fire hoses and the police dogs and all of that. It was all a staged event. This is what Martin Luther King specialized in. And that's how they got change affected. This is why they went to places like the Highlander Folk School to learn these techniques. And that's why you always see these civil rights workers, you know, in white shirts with little skinny ties, and they are always, you know, looking so holy. They weren't looking so holy before the camera started rolling, James.
Well, that's absolutely right, Keith. And God bless Montgomery police officer, went on to become Montgomery police chief, Drew Lackey, who appeared on this very program back in 2008 for one of our most memorable interviews in the history of the political cesspool. And he laid it out for over an hour. He wrote a book, Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. And of course, anytime we say civil rights, we put it in quotations or refer to it as the so-called civil rights movement. But Drew Lackey was a police chief who lived through this, had firsthand encounters with King, Parks, the whole cast of characters down there. And he told the truth, continues to tell the truth. And as Keith mentioned, we had a fan of the program who left a great comment, including some excerpts of Chief Lackey's book, in which he told you what you didn't see on those very scripted news broadcasts that we all know so well, that we all saw repeatedly last week during the King holiday.
You can't avoid them. They run out that same grainy footage all the time. And see, this is what you need to understand, that basically if you bow down at the altar of the civil rights movement, you can't defeat feminism. You can't defeat the homosexual rights movement. You can't defeat the sexual revolution. You can't defeat the drug culture. You can't defeat the criminal rights movement or radical environmentalism or any other aspect of liberalism. Liberalism is a whole, and it's basically bringing America to its knees. We're transformed in 1950. We're the strongest nation in the world. We manufactured 96% of the goods we consume. Now our manufacturing sector is down to 9%. We're no longer the strong country we used to be, and that's because of liberalism.
We'll be back right after this.
These messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
As I told our producer during the commercial break, when Keith Alexander is going strong, he's like a freight train. There is no slowing him down fast, as Paul Craig Roberts found out last week. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a great hour. After this segment, we're going to try to put the rest, unless we're provoked by Fox News or Sarah Palin during the interim, we're going to put to rest MLK until next year, when once again we'll have to rise to the occasion and offer a little objectivity and truth to the constant worship that is he the new God of America, Keith?
Well, you would think so, and there's a reason why they do it. They don't really respect Dr. King. Dr. King is just a shibboleth that they can use. Here's an article that you were referring to earlier from our local newspaper, The Commercial Appeal, that appeared on Monday, January the 17th, Martin Luther King's holiday, that says, "Holiday's meaning expands over time." That's just exactly what we've been saying. More looking into MLK's words to seek answers. Now, of course, the only words of MLK's that are ever quoted by these neoconservatives and mainstream conservatives like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity is a ghost-written paragraph or sentence about he wants his children to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And, of course, that's the last thing that Martin Luther King and liberals want, because when they are judged by the content of their character, by the amount of their intellect, by their brain power, as shown by SAT and ACT scores and things like this, they're going to come back far back in the pack, and the goodies of life are not going to be reserved for them. We have affirmative action. The 64 Civil Rights Act, its basic enduring legacy is affirmative action and an EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, to enforce it on schools, on employers, and on everybody. In fact, this type of regulation is one of the reasons that American manufacturers were prompted to look elsewhere to locate their plants. You know, if you go to China or you go to India or you go to Mexico, they don't have an EEOC. They don't have requirements that you hire a certain percentage of blacks or other minorities in order to not be sued and not be penalized. So they decided that it was not politically correct and expedient to take this on head on. So what they did was they started secretly moving their plants down offshore. And that's where all this offshoring goes. And this is where our manufacturing has gone. And without manufacturing, we're never going to be a strong country. We're never going to pay off our debt. But let's get back to this article. Here's what it says. The federal holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King has taken on added meaning to most Americans this year as they try to make sense of the violence in Arizona that left six people dead and a member of Congress fighting for her life. A state that once resisted the notion of a federal King holiday and recently has been a setting for a sharp-tongued debate on immigration now finds itself in search of solace after the January 8 attack on Representative Gabrielle Giffords and the throng of people around her outside a grocery store in Tucson. The balm of choice is King, a pacifist Southern preacher whose own life was cut short by gun violence. Dr. King's message was about inclusion and recognition of human dignity, of human rights, and making sure that all of our voices are heard, said Amani Perry, professor of African-American studies at Princeton University. I hope people in Arizona in particular embrace that part of the message. The politics of Arizona recently have often seemed to revolve around exclusion. Now see, this is what they're saying. Arizona is a mecca of hatred and bigotry, as Sheriff Clarence Dipstick or Dubnik or whatever his name is said, because they opposed having a King holiday. Remember back in the 80s when it was first made a national holiday and all the states had to endorse it, and Arizona said, "We'll take a pass. We really don't want to celebrate this man." And then the NFL steps in and says, we're boycotting you. We're going to have the Super Bowl at Phoenix, but now we're not going to have it there anymore. And they started to put on all the pressure to prevent, to make these people fall into line in Arizona. So Arizona is now this mecca of bigotry and hatred. Well, you know, that shows you just how leftist our news media is. Why don't they tell us that San Francisco and New York City, for example, are meccas of immorality and perversion, which they are? I remember when a former brother-in-law told me, living in New York City at the time, that between gay Greenwich Village and the Feet East Side, they've just about stamped out heterosexuality altogether up here in New York. Well, same thing can be said for San Francisco, but of course, never has heard a discouraging word about those places. The terrible place is Red State America, Arizona. And let me tell you, this is why there is a significant difference between Red State and Blue State America, and this is the same fissure in values and approach to life that led to the Civil War. It had nothing to do with slavery. It had everything to do with the fact that Red State America of the day, which was the Confederacy, plus the border states, was being dominated, preached to, and controlled like a colony by another part of the country. It still goes on today, and you're seeing it in this article. You're seeing it in the reaction to Arizona and what the leftist media is trying to make of it. Well, you know, Martin Luther King was not a pacifist. He was not a uniter of mankind. He wasn't for truth, justice, and the American way, or any of this other baloney that you hear all the time. What he was is best exemplified in the true name of the NAACP. He was for the advancement of colored people, particularly black people, at any and all costs. And really, what liberalism is about is not the advancement of colored people so much as it is the degradation and the dethroning of white people. That's what they want. See, that liberalism works towards that goal. For example, look at abortion, look at birth control and things like this. Since 1950, over 50 million Americans, white Americans, have been killed in the womb. And what has this led to? It's led to them being replaced by third world people, people from Somalia, people from Mexico, people from Haiti, people from wherever. And the problem with third world people is that they cannot either create or even sustain a first world civilization. They've shown that in their own countries. Look at Haiti, for example. Haiti was once the jewel of the Caribbean, the wealthiest colony in all of the New World. Then, be careful what you wish for, it may come true. What happened was they either killed or ran off all the white people, but had a black nation, and ever since then it's been synonymous with degradation, poverty, ignorance, sexual immorality, disease, and every other negative that you can think of.
I just got to ask you a quick question, Keith, here in an interjection. What is it that you say about the parallels between Haiti and France?
Well, nobody ever mistook Haiti for France, even though they have the French language, they have a French judicial system, and they have a French governmental system. So consequently, this gives a lie to Bill Kristol and Jonah Goldberg's idea that America is a creedal nation, and that all people can participate as long as they, and equally and with equal success, if they just embrace the American creed. Well, the people of Haiti embrace the French creed, and like I said, nobody in their right mind has ever mistaken Haiti for France. France is a nation with a first world population, and because they have a first world population, they have a first world nation. Consequently, if America invites more and more third worlders into America, America will gradually cease to be a first world nation. That's the truth of the matter. And see, the left in this Martin Luther King worship, and particularly in this article that we'll read from, here's what they say. The struggle that the holiday itself has is not to just be another day off. Professor Douglas Brinkley, I wonder if he's related to the newscaster of Rice University, said, we have trouble with that. We have to constantly be vigilant not to let that happen. In other words, They don't want to celebrate Martin Luther King Day if it's just a day off, which a lot of people, despite all this leftist programming, expect it to be, you know, treated as. What they want is to make sure that it is going to be a way that celebrates liberalism and cements it and drives it into your consciousness and head.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate the kind of commentary that Keith Alexander just brought to the program, you got more truth in this single hour tonight than you're going to find anywhere for an entire week on the American mainstream airwaves, be it radio or television. If you enjoyed Keith's commentary tonight, help us support our radio program by buying a copy of his book, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. A donation of $25 or more to the Political Cesspool makes it yours. Contribute tonight safely and securely at thepoliticalcesspool.org. 1 hour down, two to go. Still 2 hours remaining tonight, if you can handle it. Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, will be our guest in about 10 minutes. The third hour tonight will feature Gordon Baum and Reverend Ted Pike. Keith Alexander, I'm shaking Keith's hand, everybody, thanking him for another evening of superb service. I'll be back. I'm James Edwards right after this.
The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.